That it doesn't work for me. I gotta have more cowbell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Rob, I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell, baby.
Are you Bruce Dickinson?
The Bruce Dickinson. What are we talking about today, Rob?
Wow, Nick, we got lots of things to talk about. Sports, as we all know, have been back.
It's a full one-hour episode of SportsCenter. I dig it.
Yep, the crowds at the stadiums have been going crazy.
Digital Paul Pierce asleep in the stands. I'm loving it.
that was hysterical. We're going to talk about our boys, our hometown boys, too, and see how they're rating in this spectrum of bubbleness.
My perspective on this is pretty good. I mean, I'm disappointed in one, and it's probably not the one that you think.
Well, we'll see. And then we're going to talk about pizza and what is your favorite toppings, conventional, non-conventional.
See, this for me, and I think it's a good conversation to have, this for me has evolved over time. Just like avocados was something I never like glanced at. As I've gotten older and more sophisticated, I've looked at other things on the pizza and accepted them more easily.
Man, I love avocados. I love them.
All right, but let's start with sports, right? Let's do I'm going to go a little backwards here. I want to go Red Sox because I know that you hate them. So I want to make sure we cover them before you shut them down. Number one, Alex Verdugo looking a lot like Mookie Betts over there in right field. Robs a home run, makes number one on the WebGem list last week. I thought that was worth noting. Couple home runs also. Is this guy good? Are we buying stock in Alex Verdugo?
Wow. Alex Verdugo making a glove gem.
You're saying
if this was back in the day, he would have made the Twib this week in baseball?
Yes, he would have. Yeah, he would have crushed it. Dan Patrick would have had a heart attack. He had a good week. And you know what? I would argue that, you know, we don't have any pitching in terms of starters, but the bullpen sort of got it together. I brought it up, I thought, on a previous pod, but Phillips Valdez is a bullpen guy. He came out of Texas. I think he played for Tampa for a little while. Kind of like a sidearm tweener guy. I like this guy. I think he's got something, too. And Martin Perez pitched a little bit better. Ryan Weber pitched a tiny bit better. This isn't the year for us, but I do think there are things about this team I really like.
Martin Perez is the one that looks like a stick, right? He's really skinny.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, he's the much cheaper version of Rick Porcello, kind of a sinker, low ball guy. When he elevates, they're home runs, all home runs.
I think we should send him some pizzas.
We should. What are we going to put on it?
We'll figure that out when that comes out.
Ground balls, baby. Double play balls. All right. And then I got to see a decent amount of the Celtics. I still have not seen a complete basketball game from start to finish. Yes, it is still extremely distracting that there are digital people in the stands, as you brought up last week. It's getting weirder and weirder. And again, like, I don't understand, like, they can't do something about the piped in noise versus the echo of the basketball hitting the parquet. It's very loud and very weird. I'm still adjusting my brain to it, but it was nice to see some stuff with the Celtics, not only on highlights, but I watched the end of their last two games. They've won a couple now in a row. Great pass, Jaylen Brown to Gordon Hayward. That was a big one. I don't know if it made the web gems or not. But the team ball is something that is, I don't know, man. I picked them to at least make the Eastern Conference Finals, if not the Finals. I stand by it. I like the makeup of this team, and Jaylen Brown is becoming my favorite Celtic player.
They are looking like a good team, a great team.
There's not a lot of teams, Rob, that play team ball. This is a legit one. There's probably like three teams in all the NBA that actually spread the ball around like this.
I did watch last week's game where they were up by 25.
We know you're anti-basketball, so come on now. Are we turning you?
I'm not anti-basketball. I am anti the new way the game is played.
Gotcha. But this is old school, and I got you another one. Listen, if you don't want to talk about the Celtics for just a second, let me do a tangent, Captain Tangent, and let me just bring up Luka Doncic. Now, I have heard over many years of my life that, oh, this is the next Larry Bird. This is the next Larry Bird. Dirk Nowitzki, whatever. Okay, so listen, Luka Doncic, if you said it to me, I'd be like, eh. Maybe so. He kind of looks like the next Larry Bird. That guy is legit good. And I hate the Mavs. I hate Mark Cuban, but I like watching that guy play, man.
So this guy looks like a chicken, like Larry Bird looked like a chicken.
He looks like a chicken, yeah. Yeah, he wears those old school Converse, the really flat ones.
Okay. Really, really short shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Shorts.
Yeah. Really short. And he rocks the mustache every once in a while. By the way, Gordon Hayward mustache. What's he doing with that thing? Can we get that under control, Gordon? Come on, man. Shave that thing before the playoff run, please.
I think he's getting a head start on Movember.
What does he think? He's a hockey player, for Christ's sake?
or firefighter.
So are you buying stock in the Celtics? You think? What do you think? I'm crazy. We're making the finals. We're making the Eastern Conference finals.
I believe that they will make the Eastern Conference finals. They are a team that does play, like you said, like a team. And they're playing rather well.
So who beats us? The Milwaukee Bucks? That's what you got?
Ugh. I hate the Bucks.
Me too. I don't really like the way they play.
Only one good thing came out of Milwaukee.
Strange Brew?
Yeah, Strange Brew.
Okay, let me ask you another question then. The Lakers not looking so good inside the bubble. Are they a finals team? Are they a Western Conference finals team? What's happening with the Lakers?
I don't think that they're going to do much of anything.
Okay. Do you feel bad? Let me ask you another question because you're a card collector and we brought this up a little bit. Do you feel bad Ben Simmons looks like a bust or is starting to look very seriously like a bad bust? Does he need a change of scenery or what's going on there?
He probably does need a change of scenery. I did not invest anything in him.
I liked him. I don't think I invested a ton. He wasn't like one of those guys. I remember investing more in who was the guy that Cleveland drafted first, Andrew Wiggins. I thought Wiggins would be better. By that time, he had already burned me. So by the time Simmons came around, I'm like, well, if he can't shoot, he can't be a great NBA player.
Yeah, I think you need to know how to put the ball in the hoop.
See the ball, hit the ball. Right. Don't give me this Ole shit. All right, so let's move on to hockey then, because I do live in Las Vegas, as the folks know, and my Golden Knights. Golden, I don't know why, just be the Knights, but that's a topic for a different day. But regardless, the Knights, all right, the Knights that are golden came out of the bubble. They're super hot. They got a number one seed. They're going to play the crappy Blackhawks. But on the other end of the spectrum, our beloved Bruins, who are playing the Capitals now and losing again, they might be a four seed. So they have a great season. They're number one basically the whole time. And because they're crappy out of the bubble, they're going to be a four seed. That's kind of weird. And I don't know how that's going to impact them. Once again, the Bruins look to underachieve in the playoffs. You have concerns?
Okay. I am not and never have been a fan of Tuukka Rask. Never.
Well, he's streaky, but the problem with being streaky is when you're on the bad side of that, it's not fun to watch. I don't hate him, but I don't put him in like the top four or five goaltenders ever.
I just think he's a lazy, sloppy goaltender. That's yeah. How I feel about him.
It's a pretty good way to, yeah. I mean, I don't know what's better than him. We had that young guy that came out and had a couple of good games during the regular season before the COVID scare. And I was like, oh, maybe this guy should be the one. But again, it's kind of like pitching in hockey. That's why home ice doesn't matter that much. Because when the goaltender's hot, that's basically the game. Tuukka only one time did it, but... Yeah, I almost think we should cut ties also, especially if we underachieve this year. If we don't at least make like the Eastern Conference Finals or something, I think that we should probably cut ties with them and look elsewhere and get somebody younger.
Yeah, they need to either develop somebody from the ground up or try to get someone out of Canada where they live and breathe hockey.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it would be more fitting. Plus, a guy that's, like you said, lazy. I hate to say that because I know how tough these guys are, but he does sort of play like sporadic. Like he has these brain farts and then these easy goals slide right by him every once in a while. Their backline defense, not as good with Chara as it used to be, but still pretty solid compared to other teams. I do feel like sometimes he just lets one by and it's really infuriating to watch if you're really pulling for these guys because it's a super talented team. And I feel like we should have at least one more cup out of this group. And we may not get it.
I mean, they still got the scorers. I mean, but defense does win the games.
In the playoffs, it does, just yeah, like basketball.
The four seed, however, might be the key to this. where
we'll see not today's last day of round robin, so we'll see how it shakes out. If we're 3 or 4, it makes a difference who we play. So we, yeah, I do think next week when we do the pod, we'll have a better picture. But I'm nervous, man. I have this weird feeling that it's like a first round out. It makes me nervous. Just overall, we've lost 4, possibly 5 in a row. That's not good.
With the way things have been going in 2020, does it really matter if it's a first round out?
None of this matters. None of this matters, although I'm grateful for sports to be back. By the way, it was a joy to watch frustrated Tiger Woods on the golf course also. I did catch some of that. I love watching him off the tee looking so so confident. And then the tee shot happens and he just stares at it just for like beat. Yeah, it went off the rails there, Tiger. Sorry about that.
I don't think his back is still 100% either. I think he's trying to force himself to play.
No, I do. Do you think he's going to get the record? Do you think he's going to win a couple more of these majors?
Unless he has a coming of age moment, I don't know.
It's one of those any given Sunday things, right? Like, he's probably got one more major and one more great story. The question is, does he have a couple more? I don't totally see it. And you can definitely tell, like, there was a big difference. We know that from all the drama and everything that happened with the knees and the back. Basically, it's no one is intimidated by him anymore. And when his heyday was there, everybody was kind of intimidated by him. And it's weird to think of golf like that, but it is a factor. And I think that no one cares when he's out there. He's just another guy.
Yeah, he's just another dude.
Yep. All right. Well, that's really all I got for sports. I think I will give shouts that, you know, I picked the Reds. They have righted the ship and they look better again. So watch out for the Reds. The Twins look okay. And Mike Trout is hitting homers again. So he's crushing life.
The Twins are going to be the surprise team. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased.
They're
going to be the surprise team.
So I like Berrios. You know, I'm a curveball guy and he's a great curveball guy. I worry a little bit, you know, your buddy Rich Hill, of course. I worry a little bit about the back end of their rotation, but in a 60 game season, it probably just doesn't matter that much.
Well, Rich Hill right now is on the injured reserve. We'll do that in quotations. I think that the Twins are going to do something different that a lot of teams aren't going to do. They're going to have a starter come out and pitch. And then they're going to say he got hurt so they can rest him, so they can have a full, strong staff once the playoffs hit.
You know what? I don't think that's a crazy thought. And by the way, they're not the only team that's doing that. The Yankees, who are playing traditionally, I think ultimately that's going to hurt them. They are 10-5, I think, right now. But they're not doing anything innovative. They're playing old school kind of baseball with the bullpen mechanics. And I wonder if that's going to hurt them. Obviously, the lineup is healthy and good, but I just don't. I know the fans hate the Yankees, the fans of East to West, when they can rob. But I would say that I don't think this feels like a Yankee World Series year so far.
No, they're gonna go from first to worst as the season goes on.
The Red Sox are going to be 10 games under 500, and it's going to be a joy to watch.
And they'll make the playoffs at this COVID year.
They'll lose to Rich Hill and the Twins.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right, so what else we got today, Rob? I won't bore you anymore with sports talk. Go Golden Knights.
Go Golden Knights.
Devil Rays. Drop the devil, just be the Rays. Drop the golden, all right? We're not showering here.
Drop the D, just be the backs.
Yeah, right? You know what? Yes. From your mouth to God's ears.
Arizona backs.
or just the Ds.
Oh, the diamonds. Or the snakes.
I remember they were big on like the Stingrays at the arena that nobody went to, or the stadium that nobody went to in Tampa, right? And they had like the Stingrays out there in left field or whatever.
Back in the day when the Tampa Bay Devil Rays first started, there was one guy that you could hear every game, season ticket holder. I think he paid $50 for his season tickets, and all you heard was this one guy's mouth.
Yeah. Because nobody's there. Yeah. It's not a carnival. It's baseball. All right. If you can't have fans, don't have a team. I want a team in Las Vegas, Florida. You have two teams. Nobody goes to either of those games. I mean, right now, obviously. Send one to Vegas. We'll take one.
You know what? The way things are going, they're turning it around. You know, it was supposed to be the off limits because that was the betting capital of the world to go place your bets. But now with this, the invention of all this off track betting and online betting
now. So we're not the dark horse. And I was legitimately impressed because I lived here for 20 years now, and it's incredibly transient, right? And I sort of roll my eyes, and I remember thinking like, okay, minor league baseball, minor league hockey, of course that's fine because you get a small niche group that really likes it, watching sports live. But a pro team that will never galvanize around that, but they really galvanized around the Knights. Now, the Knights helped them by having such an incredible first season, but also we did the smart thing. We built an arena that's small. It's a bandbox. It's crazy loud. So even with only 10,000 people there, it sounds crazy, crazy hot. There's electric energy there. And that led the way to the Raiders, even though I hate the Raiders being here. But I think, baseball, we're absolutely ready for that. And I think that it would look great on TV, and we could definitely be successful there.
Right. A lot of guys that are already playing pro ball are from Vegas.
Or around Vegas, Phoenix. It's another spring training type area. So, it's a no-brainer to me. And again, I bring this up just because, I hate Derek Jeter. I hate everything about him, gift basket. His Marlins, even after the COVID outbreak, now the Cardinals not so much. They're worried they won't even not get to 60 games. But the Marlins came out hot. They came out hot with a bunch of guys I had never seen before. I have no idea who these people are, and they're blowing people away, and they're playing well. They're like 7 or 8-1. How about the Miami Marlins of Florida? Are we impressed by them?
Only got one thing to say.
Should we be proud of Derek Jeter?
Only got one thing to say about that. Who are these fucking guys?
The weird thing is, every time they win, they peel a section.
That's right. Speaking about peeling sections.
Here we go. Transition. That's pros.
Pizza seems to be the number one go-to during this period of time. And a lot of the pizza places are tops in sales. Delivery, pickup, curbside, throw it out the window into your car. Pizza is there. My question to you, and to our entire listening nation, what is your favorite conventional topping on a pizza? And what is your favorite unconventional topping on a pizza?
What's the email, Rob? East to West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com. Hit us up with your toppings and your favorite pizza places around the globe. I would say easy win for pizza because we already were used to getting it delivered, whereas it's slightly different with some of these other foods. Now we have Instacart or Grubhub or Postmates, all these different things. But pizza was always there. We were used to a guy just bringing the pizza and wings to the house. So we've done it many, many times since March with the quarantine here. And we have like 5 go-to pizza places here in Vegas. They're a little bit hit or miss. I do miss the pizza back home.
Well, you get your standards. You get your Papagino's.
Uno's
a dropping like fly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Chicago style is very hit or miss.
You know what's funny, and we did it before in a previous podcast when I had the Giordano's pizza delivered.
Yeah, that looked legit.
The deep dish pizza. The funny thing is that people in Chicago, that's not what they eat. That's the tourist pizza, the deep dish. They eat something in Chicago called like the Detroit style.
And what is that?
Little squares.
Oh, weird. Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. Like New York style is like the really giant pizza slice that you wrap up.
Or Connecticut.
I am used to. I know that you know this very well, having spent time with me in my youth. I like the Greek-owned pizza places that are like a slightly thicker, super, super oily. I just like that style, and the crust has something to it that I've always loved. So those pizza places that are owned by traditionally Greek folks, I do like that type of pizza, and I'm used to it. It's really hard to find out here west.
Right. It's a slightly thicker pizza, and it's a sweeter dough.
It's a sweeter dough. Yeah, something to the dough. It's like a soft sweetness to it. But like if you tried to pick it up, everything would fall off. It's just thick enough that like you've got to sort of wrap it or cut it. You pick it.
I, on the other hand, prefer to have the North End style of pizza from like a Pizzeria Regina, which if you want to have pizza anywhere in the country and you're in Boston – and you have Pizzeria Regina, and then you have it somewhere else, there's no comparison. A nice, crispy, almost you would say it's like a burnt or charred kind of crust.
Yeah.
And it holds up.
Yeah. If it's a thinner one, it's got to be a little bit charred, right? It's got to be like crunchy almost in a weird way. And I think that does work. I actually grew to like the first couple times I had California Pizza Kitchen, very cookie cutter West Coast. I didn't like it at all. I was like, this is not pizza. This is an embarrassment. But over the years, it's grown on me and they do some innovative stuff there. So now I can have it that way. You know, and even when we talk about, we're not going to talk about it today, but when we talk about frozen pizzas, I think we'll do a segment one day. Trader Joe's, who has those thin crust sort of pizzas that they make, the basil pesto, stuff like that. I think some of those are interesting. But for traditional, for me, you know, I can't lie. It's basically sausage and pepperoni if I'm just going classic. What's your for traditional? We'll go back and forth a little bit on that.
Okay. Mine for traditional is you're gonna be like, what? I like mushrooms. Mushrooms and onions with my pizza.
You and my mom. I don't know what's up with the mushrooms.
Love mushrooms. That's just me, though.
If it was like portobello mushrooms, because I've grown West Coast and pretentious, all right. But just regular mushrooms on a pizza, I'm not feeling it.
Not the mushrooms that come out of a can. I'm talking about fresh mushrooms that are kind of sautéed.
That might be different, yeah.
Put it as a topping. And I like caramelized red onion.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Caramelized red onion. Yeah. I don't get that a ton. I know caramelized red onion they put on the barbecue chicken pizzas, right? That's traditional. I don't love that pizza, but I'll have it here and there. Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that. I mean, I'm a spinach pizza guy, as you know, also. So if it's done correctly, it's almost impossible to find out West. I'm down for the spinach pizza there. So what about unconventional?
Well, unconventional, it's funny. You mentioned something about California Pizza Kitchen. California Pizza Kitchen used to have a great frozen pizza that I always used to get when they had it in the stores. It was Thai chicken pizza.
Oh, weird. I don't think I've ever had it.
It's got instead of a red sauce, it's got a peanut sauce.
Huh. Okay. So you get the sweetness there.
If you remember, I actually duplicated the pizza. I made my own and I had the pictures posted all over my Facebook and I made Thai pickles that went along with it.
Nice.
So it's a peanut sauce, red onions, chicken, like a satay style chicken. So that to me is my favorite unconventional pizza.
I can see that. Yeah. I think, you know, I've grown to like tomato basil quite a bit it's not really unconventional, but sort of cut that comes out of that. My wife puts like artichokes and pesto with like a lot of red pepper. And it sounds weird, but for some reason, it's got just the littlest amount of tomato sauce on it. It just works really, really, really well. So we don't go outside the box too much, but I think if we did it, that's probably what I would go. Artichokes on pizza is something I wouldn't have thought was a win, but now it's a win.
I mean, I like so many things on a pizza. It's crazy. I like figs on a pizza with prosciutto. So, you know.
That's weird. I'd like to try that, though. Prosciutto on a pizza I've had before. It's not so bad, but I wouldn't have thought traditionally it would have been good. Also, the I think this would be close to your heart, the macaroni and cheese pizza. You know what? It's not terrible. I kind of like it.
No, I mean, it's good. There's no red sauce. It's just
no red sauce.
With mac and cheese on it.
Yeah, I don't even know what it tastes like. It's almost like caramelized burnt mac and cheese or something. It's hard to describe, but it works for some crazy reason. And by the way, if you throw a little buffalo sauce on it, also amazing.
There's like so many things you can do with a pizza. I know a lot of people don't like pineapple on a pizza with ham.
I don't love it. The Hawaiian. I don't know why they call it Hawaiian, but the Hawaiian pizza, although I will eat it if it's in front of me, I like it more the next morning than hot and fresh.
It's a salty, sweet kind of thing. It's that umami people that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That people love that. You know, they like that salty, sweet. You know, you got to hit all those notes. Salty, sweet, sour. You know.
Side note, I'll dip that just like I'll dip any slice of pizza in good marinara sauce. I don't care.
I mean, all this pizza talk, this brings up another thing. I had this, I asked you this week, I told you I wanted to talk about this, and you talked to people at work about it, and this has to do with soup. My thing is...
No soup for you!
No soup for you! 2 weeks! Do you eat or drink soup?
This is the question, right? You posed this to me on Slack and I couldn't stop laughing for 5 minutes. You were like, topic for the podcast, soup, yes or no? And I was like, what? Do you eat, like, is it, does it offend you if I say, let's have soup for dinner? So I posed it at work and I went around and I was like, soup, yes or no? And everybody had like a hot take. I was surprised how many takes were out there. What's your hot take on soup, Rob?
Soup is a great meal, no matter what time of day it is. You can have soup for breakfast. You can have soup for lunch. You can have soup for dinner. Usually you have soup for dinner with some grilled cheese if it's tomato soup. But the thing is, do you drink it or do you eat it?
It's a good question, right? I got a fever and the only prescription is Avogalemino Greek soup. I think every time I'm sick, I have like two go-to soups. And then once in a while when I'm like run down, not sick, it's like something I need. The only thing I would say about soup is like I'll have like lobster bisque when I go out to dinner every once in a while or a nice chowder every once in a while. Yeah. But I don't order it at the restaurant a ton as a meal. It's always like the first course or second course prior to the main course. At home, I won't do it as a meal unless it's like a really late, late dinner. For some reason, like the later the dinner, the easier it is to have as a meal for me.
Well, that's when you can move yourself off into chilies and, you know, you
right,
can
have transitioning to something hearty or even like Italian wedding soup or something more hearty with sausages and stuff like that.
So you see what I'm saying, though? You have to kind of eat those and not drink them.
I get it. I'm with you. You know, listen, soup. Yes. That's my answer. Yes, sir.
Soup. It's what's for dinner.
It's what's for dinner, baby. What's your favorite? Give me two. Give me your top two.
Minestrone.
Yeah. Done well. So I'll say this. We brought it up on a different pod before. Judge an Italian restaurant by the marinara sauce and the minestrone. Come on.
Yep. And so let's see. A second soup that I would like would just be just a traditional tomato.
Yeah, tomato with basil on top. I will do it. Here's a hot topic here. I think occasionally I put lemon juice in my tomato soup. I don't apologize for it.
Well, people put sugar in it when they make it just to cut the acid, so you don't have the agita.
Right, exactly. Which, all right, so soup. Yes, it's a winner.
If you don't know what agita is, people, it's when it makes your stomach upset.
You'll learn. If you're young enough to not know, you'll learn.
those youngins.
These kids today. These little bastards.
Speaking of kids today, you know, they're going to want to listen to who our sponsor is. So we're going to take a little bit of a break.
And we're back. All right. What's up next, Rob?
Ooh, man. A few weeks ago, you had mentioned the movie you wanted to recast.
Classic. It's a test of time.
Test of time. A Jim Belushi classic movie.
He had a nice run.
He did. He had a lot of movies revolved around baseball, too, if you noticed.
Listen, sports movies, close to my heart.
So we're going to do Mr. Destiny, the 2021 version. We're not using this year. We're going to do it next year.
Yeah, nothing in 2020. Absolutely not. I would say, like, look, here's the thing. It's hard when you do this, just like The Usual Suspects, which we did before, which was very popular, a popular segment for us. You don't want to touch these things. We're not saying that these aren't classics. Mr. Destiny is still very rewatchable. I still love that movie. But in terms of the premise, in terms of what we need in the cinema, which is just a lot of comic book movies right now, I think this is worth revisiting. And I think it could work or has potential to work if recasted. So that's kind of why I chose this one.
A fantasy movie about what if? What if?
The what if question. Everybody, it's romantic. It's charming. Would you change the sport? I think right off the bat, is baseball just too old school, too back? You know, it's not popular anymore. Could you change the sport and still have it work?
I don't think so, only because it's kind of weird because it's a one-on-one situation, pitcher versus hitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And the game is on the line of that individual, where if it's football, it's not on the back of one person. It's on the back of your team. Same thing with hockey and basketball.
See, I do think like football would be the obvious one based on the popularity of the sport. But for me, I think hockey and basketball could work. Basically, it's the idea that like you miss the one goal or you miss the one shot and that costs you everything. So I do think to a certain extent, like, you could change a sport and still have theoretically it work out.
If it was basketball, it could have been like a free throw, but then it's not exciting. You know, it's power versus power in this movie. And I think that it should stay baseball.
I have almost two actors for every part. I won't do it for everyone, but you're going to have to indulge me on a couple of them because I have two thoughts in my mind on how this movie could go. And both I think are watchable and fine. I kind of want to write it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if what you have and what I have, and then we'll make our final decisions on who should have the part.
Okay, so I want to start with director because I think director here, James Orr, was a writer-director. He wrote Three Men and a Baby, Sister Act. I think he did Father of the Bride. I don't know if he did both of them. But he's a very established writer, and he didn't direct a ton of movies. This one, I would have said he hit it out of the park. It wasn't a huge box office financial success, but it's beloved. And it's one of Jim Belushi's favorite movies that he did himself. So I appreciate it. Good casting across the board. For me, so... it's very 1990 when it came out, and it hasn't aged particularly well because it has that sort of old school vibe. I still think the trailer holds up, but movie start to finish, it has aged a little bit. So to give it a little bit of grittiness, a little bit of not darkness, so to say, but just a little more modern, is a guy that's seasoned in sports movies and has made a couple that I like and one that I didn't. We recently did on our other podcast, TalkingFlick.com, Warrior, which is an MMA fight. It's kind of like a boxing movie where they just crossed off boxing and wrote in UFC. And it kind of works, kind of doesn't. But he also did Miracle, and he did The Way, Way Back with Ben Affleck. Gavin O'Connor, he did The Accountant, some other darker movies also. I think he's got a World War II movie coming out soon if it ever goes back, if things ever open back up. And I do think Gavin O'Connor, because if you take Way, Way Back and you kind of mesh it with Miracle, which is a little more Disney cookie cutter, and you squeeze it together, I think he's got something there in tone that would work for a Mr. Destiny reboot.
So you're not going to go with Michael Bay or Peter Berg?
I was going to go Michael Bay, but, I was going to go J.J. Abrams, all lens flares, baby. But I had to tone it down a little bit.
Well, my movie is cast as a green light project,
Project Greenlight. Yeah, classic.
We're going to have a nationwide Zoom call to find the next great director. And it's going to be a reality show I'm going to produce.
Wow.
America's so next great
concept.
Director.
Right. I want in.
All right. I'll get you in there. So, Larry Burrows.
That's the big one, yeah.
Who do you have playing Larry Burrows?
Okay, so here's the thing, right? I've got two different ways I can go about this. If it's basketball, which I wasn't totally opposed to in my brain, I think I could have wrote it both ways. It's two different stories, so it's two totally different scripts. But if I go basketball, it's Michael B. Jordan. That's who I was going with. And I kind of like him. I like his ability. He hasn't had a vehicle that really celebrates what he can do. I really think he's a good actor. The Fruitvale Station performance is unbelievable. And I think he had like a little tiny bit of that romantic comedy thing, but it wasn't a great script. I think we could do something with him that is perfect. If it's basketball, like I said, if we're going to go baseball or hockey, more traditional, I had Bradley Cooper, and I know that's a little bit different. He might be a tiny bit too old now, but I still think he kind of is like Kevin Costner in For Love of the Game. I think he could pull that part off.
Okay. Well, I'm sticking with the baseball tradition. Okay. And my person to play Larry Burrows is Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah. I can see it. Yeah. I think you think this movie's funnier than it is. I think it's more, I see it more of like Jerry Maguire, Cameron Crowe-ish, and I think you see it more funny. I still think like you have to hold it as like, it's not a comedy. And then the comedy section, it's either a romantic comedy or maybe a romance.
Well, I'm going to make it romantic.
All right. Chris Pratt's fine. He didn't have a ton of chemistry with, what's her name? Jennifer Lawrence in that weird sci-fi movie. I'm not so sure about that. Pretty decent chemistry with the lady from Jurassic World, though. Blake, what's her name? Ron Howard's daughter?
Ron Howard's daughter. We'll just say
yeah, that. She's lovely. Good director. Directed one of the episodes of Mandalorian, by the way. One of the good ones.
Nice. Okay.
So I'm okay with it. I'm not going to poo-poo that idea. Chris Pratt can pull that part off, and he's obviously established. His Guardians of the Galaxy performance is what turned me around. I always liked him on Parks and Rec. I would say that he was rumored for a little while to be in the reboot of Indiana Jones. I do not want to see that.
Well, Parks and Recs, that was fat Chris Pratt. Fat Chris Pratt.
I like him either way. Look, now in real life, like, people go up and down. I'm good either way.
Now he's like chiseled.
I'll take him either way. HGH Chris Pratt or Pasta Chris Pratt. Either way.
All right. Ellen Burroughs.
This is a big one. You have to name this one. Yes, the lovely, beautiful Linda Hamilton. By the way, pre-Terminator, I'm telling you, Terminator 2 was 92 before she was like kicking ass. She should have had more romantic comedies. She was just a lovely actress.
Who do you have?
Okay, so I have two people. I'm only going to give you one. I don't want to make the segment too long. Rachel McAdams, it's non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable, huh? Against my Anna Kendrick playing Ellen.
Oh, you love Anna Kendrick. You love her. You can't cast her in everything.
Why not?
No brainer, though. I wouldn't argue that if she got cast. I think they're both going at it in the audition room. Either way is a winner. Just don't give me Emma Stone in that part.
No. Emma Stone got all the parts that Lindsay Lohan was supposed to get. That's my theory.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there was a course correct there.
Okay. Mike.
Mike is tough. I honestly, you know how I feel about this. I almost just bring back Michael Caine, man. Just bring him back. Roll it back. You can't go wrong. If you're not going to go Michael Caine, I have a weird one for you. I'm fairly certain he would never do it. But Michael Keaton, another Michael, as the bartender.
Well, Michael Keaton kind of does look like a bartender now, right? In all the roles I see.
You see Game 7? I feel like he's got another mode that we don't see a lot of him at. Even Spotlight, that's a different sort of Michael Keaton. I think he could pull this part. And he's got enough gravitas that he's a recognizable figure like Michael Caine was.
Game 7 was like so underrated movie.
That's underrated. It's a good movie.
All right. I'm sticking with my comedy vibes on this. My Mike, my Mr. Destiny, because he has to play all these other parts.
He plays a bunch. He's in jail. Yeah, he's all over the place.
Rhys Darby.
Yeah. From Flight of the Conchords. Classic. Yes. He's so good. He's a little, again, your movie's much funnier than mine, which is fine. I just think we have two different scripts here. We're going at it.
What America needs love, but America also needs to laugh.
Oh, we definitely need to laugh in 2020. I agree with that. All right, I won't fight that one. I won't fight it. I do think Michael Keaton could pull the part off in my movie, but I'm watching the Rhys Darby one also.
Now, Clip Metzler.
Again, hard to not just bring John Lovitz back, right? It's tempting.
It is tempting. John Lovitz hasn't changed.
I like, this is a weird one. I like, the guy from The Office, I forget his name, Dwight from The Office.
Oh, in that
part. It eludes me.
Rain.
Yeah, Rain Wilson. Yeah. There you go.
Rain Wilson, great in those underrated movie, The Rocker, which, you know, Emma Stone.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. The Rocker, he's underrated in that.
I have a weird person for this part. It's gonna make sense when you think about it in a way, but it may not make sense. I have Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing Clip.
Oh, that is weird. I almost think Joseph Gordon-Levitt pre like 500 Days of Summer, when he kind of broke out, is a good one. Joseph Gordon-Levitt post The Dark Knight Rises, where he kind of is Batman, kind of. I'm not so sure. I think he's got a little too much clout now from Inception and then his Nolan movies. But in theory, like Third Rock from the Sun, I get the line there. I think that kind of works. I would watch it. I mean, it's a weird one, but I'll take it.
Okay. Every movie has a villain.
Oh, I got this nailed. You can't this beat guy, mine.
The guy in the original Mr. Destiny, Niles Pender, played by Hans Botchner, was he such a prick.
I still want to punch him.
He reminded me a lot of people I used to take the boat with.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, I've seen the Facebook messages about the people on the boat. We got it.
I'll tell you who I have, but I definitely want to hear who you picked.
Okay, so my Bradley Cooper version of this movie is a little different than my Michael B. Jordan one. So like when I'm skewing older, I really like the idea of Bradley Whitford in this part. Think like Billy Madison, Bradley Whitford. He's a little bit too old now, but he could crush this out of the park, man.
I'll take business ethics.
We are all now dumber having listened to that.
Oh, that is a good one.
You're welcome, America. I went with
another guy who was equally a prick. Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. He's almost too intense. I remember watching Vinyl, and I wanted it so badly to be good. He's so coked out and intense in that show. I was like, come on, man. Can you just take it down? Like, take it from Spinal Tap 10 to, like, regular 10. Because you're killing it, man.
They only put one episode of that out. I know you could see the whole series somewhere.
Yeah, you can see it, yeah.
All I remember is the fucking ceiling falling down.
So much.
And laughing. I was like, what the hell?
They laid it on thick there. I mean, the metaphor. I mean, there's a lot of goodness in that show, but it was way overdone. Ray Romano was killing it.
It was good. Well, I think I like yours. I like
Bradley Whitford. Again, he's a tiny bit too old now, but I don't care. And this is my dream scenario, so I'm sticking with it.
You know what he does? He plays a prick well. So now, Bill, the owner of the company, was an old, feeble man.
I mean, in a dream scenario, it's Jason Robards, non-negotiable. But I've got a different one. Who do you have for this part?
You're gonna dig Jason Robards up?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, I will. I think he was cremated. I'll put him in the ashtray, whatever it takes.
Roll his old bones on in here.
A man is a legend. Come on.
Okay, timeless. Ready? I had Ed O'Neill in this part.
Oh, I like that. That's strong. That's strong. I almost want to steal that one. I'm going to steal that one for my movie if mine gets greenlit and yours doesn't. I was thinking Brian Cox a little bit from Succession there. Also the first Hannibal Lecter on film. But you know what? I like yours better. I'm going to go Ed O'Neill. I dig it.
So you went with Brian Cox's two roles of those and not the ringer?
Yeah.
He could have played a good prick too, you know.
He can be a good prick too. He actually knows comedy. He doesn't get enough comedy chops. Succession, like the parts I do like, are kind of when they're tongue in cheek and funny also. Although I'm not the hugest fan of that show, as you know.
Wow.
Now this last one's the big one, Rob, because if you don't get this part right, you lose the movie.
Talk about Cindy Joe.
Cindy Joe, the lovely, lovely Renee Russo in one of our favorites of all time, Major League. You have to crush this part. That scene in the purple lingerie, I mean, come on, man.
Okay, Renee Russo cannot be topped at all.
No, you can't. You still can't. You can't stop her. You can only hope to contain her. We all know that. But for the sake of the segment, we're going to have to pick a name here.
Well, I have a couple more people that go with this movie that are integral parts. But Renee Russo for me, and you're going to go, what the hell are you thinking? Gina Carano.
Okay. I think it's a little sharp. A little sharp. I would be taken aback, especially given the rest of your movie are better comedy chop folks. That one is a little bit weird to me. Yeah. Maybe it works, but I'd have to see it before I judge it.
She wasn't laughable in the movie. That's why I went with this.
It's true. It's true. But the moment is sort of like, is light in a sense. Her presence sort of, like, she has a charisma, Renee Russo, that it's sort of established. I don't know that Gina has that sort of establishment in film yet. I think it doesn't totally work. I had two folks here, one that I know you'll like, and Eva Mendes. Which I thought we haven't seen her, so it almost works better because we haven't seen her in a ton of stuff lately. But my second one was Jessica Biel. I kind of think another lady who hasn't been in a ton of movies lately, but could crush that part in a small piece, but important part.
Huh. That could work. That could work. See, I went with Gina because if I remember, did she punch Larry in the movie?
Cindy that is Joe. Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
I went with that because I wanted her to really hurt his ass.
I would have said rest in peace, Kelly Preston, because we've already seen her knock out Tom Cruise. I think Jessica Biel kind of works in that part. Jessica Biel can kick ass a little bit, too. We've seen her do it.
That's true. So also there's a few other people that have integral parts in this movie.
For me, Jewel Jagger, that's the one that's kind of on the fence. A few, like Harry Burroughs, there's a couple other parts that are kind of important, but I think you have some wiggle room there in terms of the casting.
Right. Well, Jackie Earle, which...
Jackie Earle, yeah.
Cindy Joe's real husband.
Yeah.
I have Rick Fox playing that part. And that's why Gina Carano works with this.
I might not even argue that point. I would think Ed Helms, but I mean, like, again, I think there's wiggle room there.
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, Sudeikis would crush that part. Again, too small for him, but he would crush it.
And then Duncan, the tow truck driver.
I got a guy for you, but I don't think he would ever do it. I got Owen Wilson there.
I have Nick Offerman.
Oh, you crushed it. That is genius. Drop the mic. I'll take that one. I'll steal that one too. What about the lovely Courtney Cox? She's only in it for a tiny, tiny bit, but it's kind of an important part.
Maybe that would be the Gina Carano part.
I could see the recasting there. You know what? I'll give you another oddball. She would never do it, but take your Anna Kendrick and move her right over that. Let her play a little villain there. I kind of dig it. Let's do the practical question, Rob, in 2020. So we're looking ahead 1 year. We're going to spend the rest of this year producing, writing, figuring this thing out, doing your Project Greenlight reality show. We release this when theaters are open, life is good, vaccines are abundant, new president, hopefully. Does this movie work in 2021?
Yes, it does.
Is it a success?
People will come.
Is it straight to Netflix? Because I don't want this to be straight to Netflix.
No, not straight to Netflix, not straight to Hulu, not straight to Amazon, straight to the theater. Get your butts out there. People will go.
Get your popcorn ready.
That's right.
All right. I think we nailed it. You're welcome, America. Another recasted, rebooted movie for your pleasure.
Yeah. You like that, America?
How you like them apples?
So... Nick, you've been watching, along with me, this fantastic
television. Did I not recommend this? I feel like I get credit for this one.
You do. Perry Mason.
It's so good.
The finale is coming up.
Here's the thing, right? We'd be remiss because I feel like what happened here with the Perry Mason reboot, and it had a ton of production issues. We're not going to go too far down the rabbit hole. Downey Jr. was going to play Perry Mason. It was long, digesting here, trying to figure out a way to bring it back. They finally nail it with the guy from The Americans. The first episode with the baby, I think, really turned people off. And I get it. I'm not here to say that you're wrong. But if you would just stay with it a little bit longer, I think you can turn around and you're going to find yourself in love with this show and this character.
And I'm not going to throw a spoiler out, but that scene with the baby and what they show.
It was rough.
It's going to have an integral point in this movie.
And I think, I don't know if it was always written that way in the Downey Jr. version. And by the way, I don't think the show is as good with Downey Jr. I really think his sort of gravitas is too distracting. But I do believe that scene is shocking for that reason, because the evidence and the chain of events that occurs is so important to the, you know, basically where we're going into this week, the finale.
It is. It's. I don't want to say too much because the finale is coming up. We're going to talk about it more in detail next week.
Right. But let's talk about what do you like about it? What won you over? Because I would agree with a lot of folks that the first couple episodes, I was a little bit on the fence. I wasn't like, this is the Intercontinental Champion of TV, not the World Champion of HBO. Because coming off The Watchmen, a show that I need you to watch at some point. I thought maybe this was a slow burn and I wasn't totally sold. Maybe this is a reboot that's a little bit weird because we're going too far back in time. I was used to, was it Ray Burr? Raymond Burr, right? He was the guy who played him. And I was kind of used to him and the beard and that look and established lawyer. This is sort of prequel. He becomes a lawyer. There's an evolution of character here. He's kind of a jerk and a scumbag. It was hard for me to adjust, but once I adjusted and accepted right around episode 3, I just fell in love with the show.
I think you're getting Raymond Burr's characters a little confused with the beard, because I think he was canon.
Yeah. Oh, well, no. He came back in the TV movies. He had the beard. I promise. Right.
The original episodes, he was clean shaven.
He was clean shaven. You're right. But those are, I'm not old enough for that. Come on, man.
Canon. Or Ironsides. I don't know.
It was one of those. Yeah. I can't remember. Again, you're aging yourself. I'm going to let you do it.
Ironsides myself. But
so let me ask you, were you in right from the get-go, or did you binge? How did you watch it?
I binged the first 3 episodes because
I kind of wish I had done that.
I had backed up. So when I did that, I stopped after the third and I wanted to watch it week to week because you need that build. So, I mean,
it's a practical question, and we've brought it up before, right? Is it something that is distracting or annoying to you that you're waiting week to week, or do you find it pleasant like that because it's kind of a dark show?
It's a dark show, and I find it pleasant to wait. You know, like the old days when you had to watch TV with the
I'm still old fashioned, man. I want week to week sometimes.
Days we had to get up out of the chair and change the channel.
It's appointment viewing, right? Like my phone goes off, the little calendar dinger goes off, and it's Perry Mason night. I have something to look forward to on Sunday night before the work week hits again.
Right. But folks, I'm telling you, you have to watch this show. If you haven't watched it, watch it now.
Let me just throw a couple of shout outs. Juliet Rylance does Della Street. It's a great Della Street character, better than the old show, I would argue, at least the one that I saw, the 80s one. And I thought John Lithgow, no spoilers, just Emmy performance. He crushes this part. And without giving anything away, it's just a great arc.
Yeah, we're not going to say too much, people. If you haven't watched it, watch it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When the season finale hits, we'll have like a nice recap of it. But would you say it's the best show on TV right now?
I would say yes, it is.
I'm with you on it. It's got the belt for me now. And Matthew Rhys, is he your Perry Mason?
He is my Perry Mason.
Do you want more seasons? It got season two already green lit, so I'm happy about that. Do you think this show could be like long running, or do you want like maybe two or three and then call it quits?
Depending on what happens in the finale, I won't be able to answer that until then.
I agree. I'm with you on that. All right. So, folks, look forward to Perry Mason. If you're not watching yet, get on it. Get through that first episode. It's a rough ride. I promise it levels out.
Yeah. You know what? You know what else is a rough ride? People in this world are crazy.
I know what you're going to bring up. I don't want to talk about the past.
People in this world are crazy.
My button is on the top of my head. I don't know what other people think, but that's where my button is.
Nothing is sacred anymore. People find fault with everything.
The outrage machine is humming, man. It's full of gasoline or solar panels. It's moving.
I'm not going to pitch this movie. I haven't seen it. However, I'm only going to talk about this because this part is voiced by the lovely Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, and we know she's sacred to you. We know because every time we recast a movie, she's the lead.
Right. She'll be the lead, the new Terminator and Die Hard phone.
She would crush that part.
Okay.
She's my Perry Mason.
Troll World Tours.
Yeah. Toys. First of all, Troll Toys to begin with kind of started the whole revolution, right? So there's sacred toys even without the crazy movies that do well.
Right. Okay, there's a singing troll toy doll. Don't bother looking for it. It's been removed from the shelves everywhere.
How do you make it sing, Rob?
Well, you make it sing by rubbing its belly, and it sings and says stuff and whatever. However,
what could go wrong?
This video I saw, this woman puts the doll on the table and lifts the legs up in the prone position, you know, I'd say it was kind of like missionary, like
for balance, obviously.
Yes. And then she says, see this little button here? There's a button in the butt area. And she touches it and it goes, ooh, ah, ee, oh. I'm like, what? She's like, this button's not mentioned in any of the toy on the description. And this is disgusting. This is the private area. And I don't know. People, just look it up.
I'm trying to think how quickly we want to go off the air. I was going to say, I'm totally okay with it. You know what? If you look back in the day, you could have argued that pulling the string aggressively out of the back of a teddy bear was animal abuse, I suppose. So is it perfectly kosher? Probably not. But do I care? Fuck no, I don't give a shit about that. Put the button wherever the fuck you want. I don't care about a stupid treasure troll toy. I'm sorry, America.
I don't care either. I just was like, why is this person even discussing this? No one would have even seen this unless this wacko talked about this.
Look, Outrage Machine, I'm sorry you're going to lose TikTok, but I just can't feel for you. I apologize.
Oh, no. You have any other show recommendations, Nick?
Not a lot. What I would say is I always strongly recommend the other podcast, Talking Flick at TalkingFlick.com. This week we do Warrior. The Jerry Maguire episode from a couple weeks ago was very popular, so check that out if you haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to Lovecraft Country coming out on HBO in about a week or two, so I'm excited about that also. But like I said, all signs point to Perry Mason season finale. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Nice. I'm watching a show right now which features Gillian Anderson. It's a few years old. It's called The Fall, and it's on Amazon Prime.
We chatted off pod a little bit about this. I strongly recommend her performance in season three, that final season of Hannibal, where she crushes that part. But I did watch the first episode of this. It was a little bit slow. You're saying I should go back and give it another chance?
Yes. Like I said, if everybody remembers the X-Files episode with Sexy Scully,
one of the best.
This will be your Sexy Scully.
For some of dream. Us, every X-Files episode was Sexy Scully episode. Right. But, you know, I get it. Exactly.
So you're on Talking Flick.
Talking Flick, TalkingFlick.com. You can always find my movie reviews and top 10 movies of the year at RealWatchability.com also.
Yeah, folks, they're going to be doing I Am the Warrior.
The Warrior. If Warriors come out and play.
Oh, anyway, you want to email us east to west with Nick and Rob at gmail.com.
east to west with Nick and Rob at gmail.com.
Twitter, Nick and Rob, E the number two W. And folks, this is it for this week. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Download, like us, rate us. Peace.
Such a fine line between stupid and clever.